Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you, and to those also joining us through online. When you go to the airport, you know, I believe many of us will make sure that we have our travel documents with us. Have you gone to the airport and realizing, wow, I forgot my travel documents, my passport? What do? You panic? You call home and say, can you rush? Take the 407. I'll pay for it. Please come to the airport. I need it. And if you have no one to help, you know, you'll try to explain to the person. But it's a bit difficult because when you go overseas, particularly on international flights, you know, they need legal documents to show that you are the person. You don't want to do that, but finally what do? You say, okay, fine, you know, I'm not going to take the trip. You feel frustrated. I was reading about a great scientist by the name of Gusev, and he was, you know, during his, in his country, it was a difficult time for him. So, and he was leaving that country for good. And he was packing his bags, and he was so, you know, just ready. I just want to leave because, you know, too much of a predicament here. You know, I just want to escape. When he came to the borders, he realized his travel documents were not with him. He was a great scientist, well-known guy by the people. Artist. And so the guys at the travel borders asked him, you know, who are you? And he said, I'm Gustav. And he said, they said, show me a document. He said, no, I don't have. But I, they said, they laughed at him. How do we know you're Gustav? Yes, we have heard of that name as a great artist. How do I know? How do you prove yourself? And there was another officer who came by and said, you know, if you're the real artist, you know, why did you do this? And so they gave him a piece of paper and showed him, you know, there was a vast field around there. And he said, can you start drawing? And he drew. He drew so wonderful. They were astonished. And they said, yes, now we know who you are. We know for sure that you are the great artist, Gustav. And they allowed him to pass through. When I was reading the story, I was just asking myself, you know, how do people know that I'm a true child of God? We live in a society and we go to our workplaces. We worked for so long in a particular company, right? Do people can immediately recognize by saying, you know, this lady or this gentleman who's working in our company, you know, he is a Christian. You know, I see Christ in him or in her because of the way he acts or reacts in his life. Is Christ evident in our life? You know, today I think people identify themselves with the many accomplishments they have made or a name they have made for themselves. But as Christians, I'm not saying that we shouldn't accomplish those things. But it's important for us, for people to see whether you are a child of God. They can see through our actions and also through our reactions that who we are and to whom we belong. And in this particular passage that we are about to look, Peter is talking to the believers here. And he is talking about the kind of faith that God is looking in our lives. Last week, we were looking for the first few verses, right? The first four verses. And today, I thought, you know, we will look at this particular verse or the verses here. Last week, we looked at, you know, the faith that knows, right? It's about knowing God, the grace of God, the peace of God, the power of God, the divine promises of God, which God fulfills. And today, it's about a faith that grows. I believe I'm speaking to some parents here. You know, when you see your child, you're so excited. But you want your child to grow. Right? When your child is crawling, you're so excited. When the child is making the first step, you know, You're so excited and you want the child to walk fast. And then it's the season you want the child to run, right? You want the child to be independent. Can you imagine a child who's not doing what we expect? We become upset, right? We try our best to help the child to grow. And so Peter is saying, you know, we need to be, our church, our faith needs to grow. Because what was happening, you know, those days, people were just satisfied because I'm justified by faith. I belong to Christ. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But Peter says that we need to continue to grow in our faith. He says that is important. Here we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for this very reason. What reason? The first four verses we saw. Because we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because of who we are, our identity belongs to Christ. Because of the grace of Christ that is working in my life, the peace of God and the divine power of God that is working in my life, because of who I am, because I'm a Christian. He says, for this very reason, he says, you know, you need to make every effort to add to your faith. And let's look at a couple of verses here. He says, for this reason, make effort to add to your faith. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you look at these verses, I like to do word studies here. He says, make every effort. The way Peter, he's saying, you know, you need to work hard. Christian life is not easy. Yes, we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Wonderful. We come to church and we get baptized. That's wonderful. But he says, you make every effort. In the Greek language, it calls for a lot of labor, a lot of effort, my friend. Self-denial, giving of ourselves. Paul talks about it in Romans 12:1 as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So Peter is saying, you need to make every effort possible. Let me tell you, Christian life is not an easy life. We need to be making effort if we want to grow. If a child wants to succeed in this exam, we always say, work hard, right? Study hard. It's good to burn your midnight oil because you're putting in a lot of effort and you will be rewarded accordingly. And that's what Peter is saying. You know, we need to work hard. Because these were persecuted Christians who were scattered in Asia Minor. There was a lot of frustration. They were discouraged. And they thought, you know, is it what faith is all about? But Peter says, you need to make every effort to add to your faith. Interesting word they're using here. He says, add to your faith. How many of you like cooking? I see one hand. Wow. One, two. Don't ask me. If I put my hand, maybe I'll have to cook at home. You know, when you're cooking, what do? Right? When you taste, you know something is, you know, sometimes, you know, when I do cooking, right, I don't look at measurements. I just throw in whatever I can, right? And somehow I'll try to balance and I'll look in and the taste. I just want particular taste to come out of it. And that's the way he's using here. He says, these are the things that you need to do, add to your faith. You need to add. You cannot be just stagnant in your life. Be happy, you know, because I just read my Bible and I just pray to God. For the past 5 years, I've been just spending 10 minutes of my time with God without any improvement. But the way he's saying, you need to add to your faith, it's a Greek word which is actually used during those days when they had a musical concert. It was a word that was used in the musical world. In those days, people were rich. What they will do, they will sponsor certain concerts. And the more money they have, the more musicians come and play. And that's what he's trying to use here. He says, add to your faith. Be gracious. Add. Add to your faith that you will continue to grow. So my friend, I think that's what Peter is saying. You know, we cannot be just stagnant. Let's not be just satisfied because I've been justified, I've been declared righteous in the sight of God, I've been declared as a Christian. But you need to add, as we do cooking, we add, we want to make sure, you know, the taste that we want is coming out. We try to balance here and there. And so he says, these are the things that is important for you to grow in your faith. And when he uses the word, he is saying, it's a continuous thing, my friend. A couple of things that he's talking about. Let's look at the things that he says we need to build on our faith. Firstly, you know, he uses the word, right? He says, if you don't do that, if you don't grow in your faith, if you're not flourishing in your faith, if your faith is not so evident, he says, you have failed to develop this and you are short-sighted, right? Or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed. In other words, they've forgotten they have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. He says, we need to be growing in our faith and love for God. Let's look at, you know, the couple of things, you know, Peter is telling the church. I like to use the word see here, right? First, he says, you know, you need to add virtue. For this very reason, make every effort, he says, to supplement your faith. I'm using the ESV here. To supplement your faith with virtue. In certain places, you will see the word goodness, yeah? When you look at it, you know, Peter is saying, these are the things that you need to be adding on as you cook, you know. There's things you need to add on. You need to add virtue. The word virtue here is about our character, my friend. It's about moral excellence. The Greek philosophers, you know, were very fond of this particular word because they believe when a thing has been made, there is a particular cause or a reason, right? When a land produces, it has fulfilled its purpose. And an instrument functions well, it has fulfilled its purpose. And as human being, when we do what God expects, we have fulfilled our purpose. And that's what he says, that's moral excellence. In other words, God has created us as his image. We are built, we are made in the image of God. And we behave and live a life in the image of God, fulfilling the very purpose that God has created us. The Greek philosophers will say, it is moral excellence, my friend. That's the way Peter is talking about. We need to be living alive because God has created us with a purpose. And what is my purpose for living? What is God's purpose in the place that He has placed me, in the family, or even in the workplace, or even in the church? And I, my fulfilling, am I growing in my character so that God's name is actually glorified? So he's saying moral excellence, right? In other words, it's, you know, he's saying no to sin because I want to live, I want to do the things that God is wanting me to do. You know, when I was looking at this, I came across a lot of quotations and I thought, you know, these are powerful quotations that it's for us to see. Firstly, you know, I was looking at this quotation by this great man, Richard. He says, reputation is what people think you are. Because how you dress, how you behave. But character is who you really are. So he says, take care of your character and your reputation will take care of yourself. Today, people, you know, they put a mask, right? It's about reputation. It's about who we are. The real who we are is deep inside us. Charles Spurgeon said this word, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. Right? He says, carve your names on hearts, not marbles. D.L. Moody, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. It's not about reputation. It's about character, and that's what Peter is talking about. Recognize God's purpose as the land does its role of producing. God has created us, and when we fulfill God's purpose, that is moral excellence, my friend. We run away from sin. We flee We live a life that God has ordained for us, and that is moral excellence. That adds to our faith. We begin to grow. People are able to see that Christ is living in our lives. We become a person, right, identified with Christ. The second C, which I see here, is the word commitment, or in other words, commit. Very interestingly, he uses the word knowledge. As I said in last week, you know, the word knowledge is used almost more than 10 times by Peter. You know, he talks about knowledge. But very interesting, you know, there's a lot of connections between the word knowledge he uses and the word that he used previously, right? He used virtue. It doesn't mean, you know, I'll just do whatever I want. I do it in the knowledge of God's word. In other words, I use God's word as my compass, as my guiding principle to do the things, right? Sometimes, you know, we think that, you know, what I'm doing, you know, fulfills God's plan, God's purposes in our life. We might be doing, you know, the right thing, but are we doing the godly thing? Are we doing the thing that will glorify God or just satisfy people? And so Peter using a word here, you know, I know the knowledge, you need to see from the compass of God's word, but God's word as our guide, as our light to all the things that we do, my friend. It's not just doing what we want to do, thinking it's all right, but whether the things that we do is in accordance to God's word. Am I looking through the lenses of God's word? So in other words, we need to be students of God's word, just even every day engaging ourselves in God's word, encountering God in His word, trying to understand His precepts, my friend, His teachings, and to see, you know, the word of God, that our lives are soaked with God's word. I came across a quote. I don't have the quote with me. It's about, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it's Martin Luther, the great reformer. Now, he said about faith, and so he says, you know, a faith comes from hearing. And then he realized it's not just, you know, it's hearing the word of God. Faith is not just living, but living a life in accordance to the word of God. And so Peter is saying, yes, character is important, but whether my character is in accordance with God's word, am I doing the things that God wants me to do? That's why, you know, in Psalm 1, you know, it's a beautiful way the psalmist starts. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, it says, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. How are we today? Are we adding to our faith? Let me tell you, nothing will add to our faith if it's not God's word. How are we with God's word? Are we diving into God's word? When we read God's word, right? Are we engaging? Are we asking questions? Lord, shape me, God. Mold me and help me, Lord, to live a life according to your word. Thirdly, right, another important word, which is a bit struggling, you know, even for Peter. The word control. You know, when I was reading and I was preparing the sermon, I was just laughing to myself for a while, right? Not laughing at Peter, but, you know, Peter was one of the characters in the Bible, very impulsive man, right? He acts, he says, before thinking twice. Numerous examples we see, that was the way. But here Peter is talking about self-control. Can you imagine? He have learned. He's talking about self-control here because he realized that not because what I say, but whether I'm saying it the right time, at the right position, with a lot of self-control in mind. Because we live in a very microwave culture, right? We want to act fast, we want to do fast, we want to say fast. But Peter, very most impulsive man, here he says, have control. He says, self-control. And this is the fruit of the Spirit, my friend. In other words, You know, it is an inner power of strength that we have, right? As people, you know, we want to say immediately, right? We want to give our opinion immediately. But I think Peter is saying here, I think we need to be taking a step back, right? Thinking through and saying the right word, the right time. Self-control, so that I'm not engaging in things that will displease my Savior. Exercising a lot of inner power of strength, which is important. And so he's just wanting us. And this is one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is self-control too. Let me move on, right? And then the second, the other one is consistent. Whether we are consistent, perseverance here. He talks about perseverance. We can tell you, you know, if you don't have self-control, it's very difficult to have perseverance. Because you, if you can't control yourself, in other words, you're willing to take a step back, right, before you rationally deciding, it's difficult to have perseverance. In other words, patience, right? Here in certain languages or certain versions, you will see the word patience here. Right? Today, as I said, it's a microwave culture that we are living. We want fast. Yes, there are moments we need fast. But when Peter talks about it, he's talking about a time when people were having trials and struggles, hardships. Easy to give up your faith, right? Easy to just flow with the current, flow with the way the world was looking. But he says, have perseverance, right? It might be difficult. It's easy to murmur, easy to argue, but he says, persevere. I think I've told you the story about two frogs, right? They were in a tub of cream. I think you'd have heard it. You know, one looked at the side of the tub, right? It was too difficult to crawl over. And so one of the frogs said, you know, it's hopeless. I can't survive. It's too difficult for me to cross over. So he resigned, right, to his will and all that. He died. And he just sank to the bottom. Whereas the other frog, you know, was determined. It was just swimming. Just imagine, it was a tub of cream. It was just struggling. Did not give up. I'll just continue as long as I have this life, as the frog was doing this. Finally, the tub of cream became frozen butter kind, right? A thick, firm butter. And then it became a solid platform for the frog to cross, jump, and to go into safety. Perseverance, it's a very difficult character, my friend, to have patience on God, waiting for God's time to take place, because our time is always different, right? But God has His own time. You know, some of us like Nike, just do it. But sometimes I feel God wants us to wear another t-shirt called, just wait. Just wait for His time. Not just do it. Yes, there are moments you need to just do it because God wants you. But there are moments that God wants us to just wait. Right? Just wait. And be just exercising patience in the sight of God. Let me move on. Another three more and then we're almost done with that. These are important things. Just imagine you're adding all this to your cooking, right? You put oil and then you are the spices you're putting. And then he says, you continue to do this. All this will add flavor to your spiritual life, to your faith. And then he uses the word godliness, right? Holiness or godliness. In other words, he's saying, in a simple language, be like God. Be like God. In other words, draw close to God. Just be the way Jesus lived in this world. You know about our Savior. We have been teaching about the Savior. And that's what Peter is trying to teach them. You know, be like our God, godliness. Right? And just be like Him. Just love Him and live a life that make sure that God is included in everything. God is included in my decisions. God is included in my career. God is included in my family life. God is always in the center of our life. Whenever my wife and I do premarital counseling, we always tell couples, right? It's always a joy to, you know, bring people in holy matrimony. I always tell them, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you know, both of you hold hands. But when the child comes into your life, what happens? The child becomes the center, and your life revolves around the child, right? And I say that's not the way. Make sure the child also is part of the circle, and our lives revolve around Christ. Sometimes it's easy to put the child into the center. Everything, we do things, we decide things, we, you know, everything revolves around the child. It should always, the child is part of the family. Our lives revolve around God. And so that's what Peter is trying to say, you know, add this. Let's include God in our decisions. Be like God. Be like our Savior. And let me close with this, another two more. He uses another C. He says compassion. In other words, mutual affection. This is a word that you'll always tend to see. In the Greek word, it's philadelphia. In other words, it's love, filio, brother. And then it means the love of brothers. It's a mutual love between brothers, right? It's a love that is always seen between brothers. How's our love towards one another in our church family? I think that's what Peter is trying to say. Yes, you're in a difficult time, but make sure that you're looking at a brother who's in need, a sister who's in need. Remember what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7? He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know God, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." In other words, I think our care for one another in the church, I think that is important. That is very important. You tend to see these words spoken consistently, not only by Peter, but Paul. How's my brother and sister in the church? How are they doing? Am I praying for them? Am I thinking of them? Am I reaching out to them? Right? Am I there? I'm not saying that, you know, we need to know everyone, right, 100% by name, what's happening in their lives. But am I making effort to getting to know more people? Right, it's easy to be knowing people that we know very well. But am I willing? Sometimes it's good, right? Every Sunday, right? Tell yourself, you know, today I want to talk to someone I've never spoken before. Just let me start a conversation and speak. Get to know. And, you know, that'll be wonderful. One of the things that actually really fascinated me when I came first to this church with my wife, I was really fascinated. And my wife would agree with me. There's one person in the church, you know, that I'm not saying that you guys don't pray for the pastor. The first person came and said, "Pastor Vincent, is there something I can pray for you?" Wow, that was so wonderful for me. A small phrase, a small question, but it spoke to me a lot. I think that's what, you know, we need. And I'm not saying that our church doesn't do that. Let me tell you, our church is one of the very caring church. We care for one another. We did a survey in EMT, and interestingly, you know, it came out, not only outside, but also in the Chinese side, that our congregation, even though we are small, but we care. We want to reach out to one another. You know what Paul wrote in Hebrews? He says, let's continue to do that. He says, let's continue. Let's brotherly love increase. In Hebrews 13:1, he says, let brotherly love continue in us. And lastly, this is what he says, you know, love. In other words, he uses the word charity. This is a word which is an active kind of love that is not only shown within the church family, but outside, right? Outside the family. It's a love that is shown in a very sacrificial, not saying God so loved the world. Wonderful. But God showed His love, and that's the kind of love. I love, and I want to show it. I don't know how many of you look at the bulletin. No, I look at the bulletin. When there was a need, when the elder board raised this need that we need to support Turkey, I was really happy to see, you know, that people have actually contributed a lot. And a church of this size, people were willing. We do not know that nation. Many of us have not even traveled to that part of the world. But there's a need. Let's not stop there. Let's continue. Not only just supporting, but ensuring that many more will be added into the life of our church, into our church family. There was a time, I think, Canada and the U.S. were well known for sending missionaries. They send missionaries. But today, we are a mission field. There's a lot of nationalities, ethnic people around. I think God has placed us. And we are doing, and let's continue. Let's continue to show that sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Peter says this, I must say, you know, Peter is not saying that, you know, you need to start with virtue. When virtue is done, you know, then you go to the next one. You know, that is not what Peter is trying to say. Knowledge, that's not what he is saying. Right? Because we will never come perfect to virtue. We will never be perfect in the knowledge of God's word. Right? The way Peter says is, you know, work. Don't work in one thing. Work in all these things. As you're cooking, what happens, you know? You realize you need a bit more spice. You add. Along the way, you need more salt. And so, and then you realize, you know, I need to put a bit more pepper again. Making it a bit more spicy. So that's what Peter is saying. It's not that I do this first, or secondly, and thirdly, as you're doing, continue to grow. Continue to grow in your knowledge. Continue to grow in your charity. Continue to grow in your compassion. Continue to grow in your commitment. Continue to grow in your consecration. Continue to grow in your character. And that's what he's encouraging, my friend. Add to your faith. Continue to grow in your faith. Let me finish with this. Sometimes I know people will ask, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10, have you ever asked people like that? On the scale of 1 to 10, how good is the food? They'll say, if you don't like spicy food, you'll say, yeah, it's 4. You like spicy food, you will say 8, 9. And that's how we say, use. If we can ask ourselves, in the scale of 1 to 10, how's our faith? Is it fragrant? Is it a lot of flavor? Can we say, it's 8, Pastor Vincent. My faith is 8. Because I'm growing in my character. I'm growing in my charity. I'm growing in my consecration. I'm growing in my compassion. I'm growing in my commitment to word. I'm 8. I'm 7. In the scale of 1 to 10, raise our faith. Where are we? Let's pray. This year, I think, the elder board wanted us to have the first part of the theme as trusting God. We know about trusting God. We have heard numerous sermons about trusting God. But today, in the scale of 1 to 10, how's our faith towards God? Is it evident? is character evident? Are we engaging ourselves with God's word? Are we consistent? Are we patient? Are we in control? Self-control. Let God have His control. Father, we thank You, Lord, because we are not alone, Lord, to grow in our faith. We have You, Jesus. We have a power to draw upon, as Peter reminded of God. We have the grace of God in us. We have the peace of God that is in us. We have the divine power that is constantly working in our lives. We thank You, Lord, because You are faithful in Your promises, Father, and we can always draw strength from Your love and from Your word. And help us, Lord, to grow in our faith, to grow deeper, stronger, steadfast in our faith. We thank You once again. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.